Good morning, church. It is good to be here to worship with all of you together. I'm so excited this morning. We are starting a new series, an 8-week series from the Gospel of John, where our Lord Jesus proclaimed, He is the great I am. And Jesus is using the exact same I am as God proclaimed to Moses, His name, during the event of burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. Jesus, using this, John recorded when Jesus proclaimed, I am, in a very strange word, which also same as how God proclaimed the name during the time of burning bush, which is ego eimi. Ego mean I am. Eimi mean I am. So basically it's like redundant. I am, I am. It's a very specific combination only used by God when He proclaimed His own name. I am. So in verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you and asked me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to Israelite. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelite, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. I am is the name of God, proclaimed by God Himself. In the Gospel of John, John recorded this proclamation by Jesus. The next 8 weeks, we will cover in the 8th occasion where Jesus proclaimed to the people of Israel, He is the great I am. I hope you are excited as I am. I'm sure God will do mighty work in the midst of us. Listen with great anticipation and expectation. So, this morning we'll cover from John chapter 6, verse 24 to 58. These are the very profound and wonderful verses where we get to know our Lord more intimately. The sermon title of this morning is, I am the bread of life. So, I hope I can do the justice as I speak to you. Please pray with me as I preach to you. Now, please have your Bible open to John chapter 6. I will read the scripture to you as I preach the message. So please open your Bible and to John chapter 6. We'll cover verse 24 to 58. Let us commit this time to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word. Father, we thank you that you sent your one and only Son to come to us and proclaim your name and show to us the Father in heaven. Father, this is such a profound passage. Father, help us to understand, not just in our head, but also in our heart. Holy Spirit, open our eyes of our heart. So not that we just listen to this proclamation, but we have the reality to really understand this divine proclamation. To know that you are the great I am and what it means.
You are such great God that worthy all of our praises and worthy for us to surrender everything to obey to you and to listen to you. Father, help us, O Lord, only by your power of your Holy Spirit work in us, we can see this clearly. Help your servant this morning as I proclaim your words. Empower me so that I can speak clearly, so that the word being proclaimed will do the justice of what you want to send, the message that you want to give to your people in Pantai Baptist Church. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. All right. Your church, may I safely say that many of us here never suffer from hunger due to lack of food for a long period of time. However, many parts of the world today, people still suffer from hunger and die from hunger. They understand the importance of food, the hopelessness, and the desperation when no food comes to them and their family. Watching their children cry out in hunger, watching their family member die or in hunger. Can you imagine that? And many more do not get enough food on any given day to have a decent and healthy life. But there are even much more people in this world who are hungry and thirst in their heart, in their soul, in their spirit. They are hungry and thirst in their soul because they do not have answered about life. St. Augustine of Hippo from the 5th century wrote this: "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until it finds rest in you." It is so true that every human heart is a restless heart and can never truly satisfy in the things of this world until they find rest in God. The search for the answer of life can only be satisfied when we found God, or else people will go on being hungry and thirst and recklessly seeking different things, cling on to earthly material things to satisfy them, yet they found nothing. Our this morning message, Jesus used the metaphor of bread to bring out the truth of God to the people. Jesus very often used metaphor to bring out God's truth, to that so that people can easily relate to it. Last week, Pastor Isaac preached about Jesus shared the truth to Samaritan woman at the well by using the metaphor of water, because the Samaritan woman was taking water from the well. Jesus also used metaphor like wine, door, shepherd, light, fish, and bread. So this is a very good strategy. This is a very good way when we share about God to others. Use whatever they're familiar with to share with them. Today, we talk about bread. Continue from the famous miracle done by Jesus from John chapter 6, verse 1 to 15. Jesus performed miracle by using 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to feed 5,000 men. Jesus took the lunch box from a child that surrendered to him, and he used that lunch box to feed 5,000 people. And I can submit, and there is many more children and women in the myth, was not recorded. So we can safely say at least 10,000 to 20,000 people Jesus fed from that 5 loaves and 2 fish on that day. Can you even fathom that? Can you comprehend that? How is that a lunchbox from a child, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus just multiply it and feed 20,000 people? I think for us, just to prepare lunch for a few hundred people is a chore. It's a big chore. But Jesus fed 15 to 20,000 people. And not only that, all of them were fully satisfied, and they also have 12 baskets full of leftover. Our God is not the God just enough. Our God is the God that provides more than enough. Amen? Our God will give you generously when He gives. So, brother and sister, after Jesus feeding that 5,000, performed that miracle, the crowds were so excited. You know, we can see that from John chapter 6, verse 14 to 15 say, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdraw again to a mountain by himself. You see, the crowd, after seeing the miracle and this scripture pop into their mind, the prophecy of God from the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelite. You must listen to him. So, you see, from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. You see, so they want to make Jesus their king. However, Jesus withdrew himself from them. Why Jesus withdrew himself from the people when people want to make him king? Shouldn't he be happy? After all, he came for all these people, but he withdrew from them. We can find the answer from verse 24 to 26 in Job chapter 6. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boat and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. Or they're going out to search for Jesus. They're so eager and earnestly looking out for him. Wouldn't we be so glad and happy if today we see so many people come and voluntarily searching and looking for Jesus? I think as a church we will be so happy to see that. But Jesus withdrew from them. See, in the verses said, when they found Jesus in Capernaum, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? You didn't even let us know. When did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the sign I performed, but because you ate the loaf and had your fill. Jesus knew the crowd wanted to make him king, not because they saw the sign and said, this is great miracle only can perform by God. Let's look for Jesus so that we can connect to God. No. But they did not come wanting to worship God, but they want Jesus to fulfill their wishes. You think after waiting for 2,000 years, finally the prophecy come true and the promise of God fulfilled. And they will be so excited to come to Jesus and ask, do you have message from God since you are the prophet? You would think they will repent before Jesus like Nehemiah. Say, forgive us, Lord, for we have sins against you. Please restore your kingdom now. Please restore your people back to yourself. The crowd basically came to Jesus and said, do you have any more bread? Are you the one like Moses who gave our ancestor manna from heaven? That's why Jesus knew their heart. They did not seek him because they want to come to God, to have relationship with God. But they come to Jesus to get something from God, to make God their little genie in their pocket. They are not looking for God because they want to worship Him and have personal relationship with Him. But they are looking for blessing, looking for protection, looking for help, looking for healing, looking for prosperity, looking for more bread, provide to us every day. You see, back then, people who work mainly to earn enough to feed themselves, to buy bread and food for their family. If Jesus provide this manna or this bread to them, basically, 80% of the time, they don't have to work anymore. Church, how about you today? Why do you come to church? What are you looking for? I hope after this morning message, you will go home and spend some quiet time today and next week and ask yourself, why am I coming to Jesus? Who is Jesus to me? What am I looking for from Him? Jesus, after rebuilt them, He continued to teach them the truth to them. You see, our Lord is so gentle and so patient. After He rebuilt them, He knows their heart. He knows their heart is not come for God. He knows their heart is wicked. Why I use the word wicked? Wicked is just not murder and killing and rape. Wicked is the heart that is not for God. The heart only set on the earthly thing and not honoring God. Jesus knows their heart is wicked. And He rebuilt them. But yet, full of compassion and love and patience, He continued to teach them the truth. In verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on Him, God the Father has placed His seal of approval. So God, Jesus revealed to them. And Jesus is using food as a metaphor to illustrate the thing that people are looking for to satisfy their hunger, to satisfy their need, to sustain their life. You see, food and bread is something so important for the people. Have you ever thought that without food you can die? Without food your life cannot continue. Many of us might not even thought of that before. Maybe because you never experienced hunger to the point that can die. But the people here, they understand what it means because they've gone through famine. They know without food, they can die. So they really seek out for food. So Jesus tells them, do not work for food that spoils. It's like the shocking news to them. It's like, what are you talking about? Do not work for food. That is so important. It's also happened today for us. You know, you will come and you say, I need to work. I need my job. Pastor, the Bible says I need to follow Jesus. I need to prioritize Him. But I don't have time. I need to work. I need to make money. But Jesus said to them, do not work for food that spoil. Today, the same message gives to you. Do not work for food that spoil. We'll continue on. Hopefully, you'll find your answer. So, Jesus said, do not, basically Jesus said, not about not working at all. Jesus said, do not set your eyes on the earthly thing which will not last. There is something more important, which is your soul, which is your spiritual life, which is your life to eternal, where God created you at the beginning. So don't just put your trust on the earthly thing, which will not have any eternal value. Jesus, from the Sermon on the Mount, He already explained to the people, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Your fathers know. You need all the food and all the thing. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything will be added to you. Your Father feed everything on this earth, the bird in the sky, the fish on the, in the sea. Your Father, take care of them. Don't you worry it. He will take care of you. So don't set your eyes on the thing that will spoil and do not have any eternal value on it. Doesn't mean that you don't work, but that is not your priority. See, he said, but you should seek God for the real life sustaining food. The things will last eternal. That food that will truly satisfy you and sustain your life. As they heard what Jesus said, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endure to eternal life. They were so excited. Because their head is still, their mind is still setting on the earthly thing. So they thought, wow, this is even better. You know, the food that endure to eternal life, the food that endure to forever. Yes, Jesus. Please give us that. The food that can last forever. That is wonderful. In verse 28, then they asked him, what must we do to work God's required? He said, yeah, give us this. If we have to work on it, we have to do something for God, we will do it. You know, where can we sign up, Jesus? What kind of work that God wants us to do? You know, so that I can get that food that lasts forever. They're still looking for the earthly material thing. You know, I can do it. You know, I can make some sacrifice. I can change my schedule. I can put in some effort to do some work for God to exchange for that. But Jesus answered to them, the work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding in this part. Hopefully I can make it so clear to you. Now, Jesus is so important. Please pay attention. Jesus is reminding them the scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, where Moses told their ancestor, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelite. You must listen to him. God will raise up this prophet and you must listen to him. So Jesus is not telling them anything new when he said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Jesus is pointing them back to the scripture where Moses told their ancestor, the work of God is like what Moses told your ancestor, to listen to the one sent by God, to listen to him, believe in him, trust him, obey his command. The word listen here comes from the Hebrew word shema, which is to listen respectfully, to obey and be obedient to the command. A lot of time when we heard the word listen, meaning that I hear from here and get out from the other side. No, listen and obey. So when Jesus said believe in him, that means he pointed them back to the scripture that Moses told the ancestor, when this person comes, you listen to him and you obey him. So Jesus said, well, if you obey me, and that is the work of God. The work of God is not doing something, some work to satisfy God, to exchange for the blessing, to exchange things. A lot of us, we think, yeah, the work of God, bring it on, I can do it. I can put some effort to do some work for God. So to exchange for blessing, to exchange a ticket to heaven, as long as it doesn't touch my everything. But no, when you listen and obey, everything in your life have to readjust. That's why when Jesus said, believe in the one that who sent, Jesus is asking, listen and obey. The work of God is to surrender your life to God, to listen to Jesus, to obey Him, and to be ready to give up your own decision, your own desire, your own plan, to follow, to obey what He asks you to do. That is belief. That's a belief in Him. Listen to Him. Obey Him. A lot of times when we think the word believe, we just think like know about. Satan believe. Satan know about Jesus, but he doesn't obey. Satan know about Jesus and know about God more than all of us here, but he doesn't obey. So if we just know about God and in our lips, in our mind, we think we believe, it's knowing about Him. There's no difference from Satan. But Jesus said, believe in a way, listen, obey. They heard this and they understand what Jesus is saying to them. You see, they are not stupid. They know the Word of God. They know exactly what Jesus said. They have the background context. So they come back to bargain with Jesus in verse 30 to 31. So they ask Him, what sign then will You give that we may see it and believe You? What will You do? Our ancestor ate the manna in the wilderness, and it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. You know, they are saying to Jesus, the stake is high, if that is what You ask of us, well, you know, what kind of sign You can perform, you know, for us to believe You are the one sent by God, like Moses said. You see, early on, after they eaten the bread, they want to make Jesus their king. They believe that Jesus must be the prophet sent by God, according to Moses. But now, when Jesus is pointing them back to the scripture and asks them to submit to what God, Moses has instructed them, to listen and obey Him if they believe He is the one who sent by God, that makes them feel so uncomfortable. The stake is so high now. They're willing to do some work for God to exchange for the blessing. Just like the young rich ruler, what can I do to gain eternal life? Yeah, I can do it. And this other thing I have done, I did it when I was young. What else? Bring it on, I can do it. And Jesus said, go home and sell everything and give to the poor and come and follow Me. And he was like, what? Wow, that is too difficult. That's too hard. I can do something. But You are asking for everything. The work of God is this, to listen and obey, to surrender your comfortable life by obeying. They start to struggle. They want more proof. They want Jesus to give them bread every day. He said, can You do what Moses did for My ancestor? Every day for 40 years, provide food. You know, the clothes that they wear will not rot at all. Provide to them every day. They don't have to work in the wilderness. They just follow God around. Jesus, can You do that? That one-time performance of feeding all of us, that's not enough. Why, you think one lunch, one dinner that will do? Of course not. Come on, show us more so that we can give our whole life to You. Actually, in their heart, there's no intention to surrender. There's no intention to obey. They just struggle. They just want to find something. They just want to find an excuse. Before, they already said Jesus must be the prophet. But now they're just like, well, maybe not. Jesus replied in verse 32 to 34. Jesus said to them, so Jesus is so patient. Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is My Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Again, they got so excited. Wow, are you agree on that? That's why they said, sir, always give us this bread. The bread that will come from heaven will give life. He said, yeah, wow, that is like, you know, bread manna 2.0. That's an upgrade manna. Give it to us. And Jesus explained to them, the bread you are talking about is given by God, not Moses. So don't look at Moses. And now God will give you even better version of bread from heaven, which will give life. And they replied, yes, please, always give us this bread, sir. They're still thinking material thing. They say, yeah, yeah, this is great, Jesus. Continue, give it to us. Give it to us again and again and again. Just keep giving to us. Then Jesus declared in verse 35. Let me see more water. Very important part here. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And now, this is extraordinary important, okay? Jesus identified himself, proclaimed to the crowd, you know the God just now you're talking about? You know the God that you're so happy that he will give you life? Just now I told you, it is not Moses, but the God who gave you the bread. So that God that gave the bread to your ancestor, and you believe in that God because your ancestor was fed with manna every day for 40 years. You say, if you do that, Jesus, give bread, the manna to us like Moses gave to our ancestor. He said, that God have provided 40 years for your ancestor now. And you want proof. You want proof that God will perform the same miracle through me to you. Now, let me tell you this. I am that God. I am that God who fed your ancestor. I am that God come from heaven to you now. I am the source of life. I am the one who will satisfy you. And Jesus quote from Isaiah chapter 55. Come to me and you will never go hungry. Believe in me, you will never thirst again. Jesus is basically telling them, he is the one. He is the prophecy fulfilled. He is here to make everlasting covenant with them where God promised to David in Isaiah chapter 55. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The word life here in Greek is zoe, not bios. Bios is physical life. Zoe is spiritual life. It's a life given by God. Only God can give. He said, I am the life that only God can give you. I am that bread that feed to your spirit, feed to your soul. You can only come to know God if you take on this bread. And I am that God who will give you this life of Zoe. I am the prophecy fulfilled in Isaiah chapter 55. Jesus continued to proclaim the truth in verse 36 to 40. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. And those Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Jesus is proclaiming the gospel. He said, the Father that you're talking about, the Father that you believe, you give because He gave manna to Moses, to your ancestor for 40 years, I am that God, and I am sent by that God to you, so that you can have life to eternity. So you can come to me and reconcile with God and be with God. He's proclaiming the gospel. He's proclaiming this very important mystery of God. I'm telling you the truth, but yet I know you won't believe me. Now, you see me. I proclaim to you, I am the great I am. I am not just a God. I am the God who will be the bread who gave to you. But you don't believe. I come from heaven to give you eternal life. But you won't believe. But instead of listening to Jesus, recalling the passage in Isaiah 55, or kneeling down and worship Him, they grumble among themselves. We can see from verse 41 to 42, at this, the Jews there began to grumble about Him because He said, I am the bread that come down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mothers we know? How can He now say, I came down from heaven? Just now they said, this guy must come from God as prophet. But now how can He say, come down from heaven? Have they not read Isaiah 55? But yet, they have doubt. Why? Because they're not coming for God. Jesus proved that. If you still remember in previous chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, Moses told your ancestor, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. So what's wrong? Jesus is from the line of David, son of Mary and Joseph, conceived by the power of Holy Spirit. He's legit. He's from among them. He's one of the Israelites. Why they doubt? Why they grumbling about, isn't that the son of Mary and Joseph? They have completely missed it because their heart was not for God, not wanted to seek Him genuinely. Their heart focused on earthly material things, like what Jesus told them early in verse 26. Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the sign I performed, but because you ate the loaf and had your fill. As Jesus see them grumbling and unbelief, in verse 41 and 42, He tried to make it clearer to them by continue explaining to them. Our Lord is so patient. He really wants to tell them this truth. He said, stop grumbling among yourself. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophet, there will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from Him, come to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestor ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. It sounds like Jesus said, yeah, not everyone can come to me. But actually, Jesus is quoting from Isaiah chapter 54. If you read the whole chapter in chapter 54, and he quotes here, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. Isaiah 54 is a prophecy of God will extend his grace to his people and make peace with his people. We can see from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10, okay, just one part of it. Though the mountain be shaken and the hill be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, say the Lord who has compassion on you. Jesus said, I am that God. I come here to make peace with you. Don't you see? If you see this, that's why I hear you say, everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. You claim that you know the scripture. Then you should know this. I am the one. And he said, the prophecy is being fulfilled. If you know God the Father, if you know God, if you learn from the scripture of God, you will come to me. Don't seek for the earthly bread. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. If you come to me and receive me and having me be part of you, eat this bread of life, you will have eternal life in me. Because he said, I am the bread of Zoe. He put himself to the point that for them to understand and relate like bread, okay, for your spiritual life, you must take it, eat it, so you can have that spiritual life, so you can be in me and part of me. Brother and sister, you see, God can give bread, can do miracle, can give any earthly material. It is easy for him. He can feed 15,000, 20,000 people. He can do even more. Don't forget, he is the creator God of this whole universe. He is the creator of heaven and earth, and everything is within his finger. He provides to every living thing on earth. Everything belongs to him. The very breath that you are taking in, the very life that you are having, is from him. He's providing everything to the whole world. So yes, it is very easy for him. He can do it by just command it, just say the word, and things happen. But you know what? To be the bread of life, Jesus has to come from heaven to us. He has to give his body and shed his blood for us. Just like today, when we partake the Lord's Supper, Elder Brian said to you, remembrance, what he had done for us. To suffer for us and die for us on that cross, so that we can partake him, so that we can have eternal life and be part of his family and be part of him, and he is in us. To be the bread of life, he has to come to us. To do other things is so easy for him. He just say the word. But this, he has to come and he has to suffer and he has to die for you and me on that cross and shed the blood for you. And now he tells the people, come, I'm here for you. Come to me. But these people are so blind to see. They only see what their immediate needs are. They hold on to the earthly material to provide security to them. They want what is from God, but not God. Very sadly, today many Christians also facing the same challenge. They come to Jesus because they want God's power, but they don't want the person of Jesus. They want God's miracle, but don't want the teaching that comes with it. They want a crown, but don't want the cross. They want blessing, but don't talk to them about the burden that comes with it. They want all the glory. Yeah, all for it. But they don't want any suffering that involves. And finally, they want a ticket to heaven. But don't tell them to carry their own cross to follow Jesus. They are willing to do some work, to do some service, to give some money, offer some help. But when the scriptures command their life, command them to follow Jesus' example, to surrender themselves, to live a sacrificial life as an act of worship, or to die to thyself and live for God, many find it, wow, this is a hard teaching. And conveniently, they put it into the category of KIV, keep in view. And the worst, many also would argue about how the scripture should be properly interpreted. This is not the right way to interpret it. And they find excuses. And they were looking for churches and preachers that will agree with them. Like the people in John chapter 6. They grumble. It is very sad. It is so sad. So many people still come to Jesus looking for things instead of coming to worship Him as God. That is why the churches preaching man-centric message, prosperity message, hyper-grace message, entertaining message, feeling good message gain popular. Thousands of people will go to those churches and call themselves Christian. And many will turn away from the preaching of the true gospel to call them to know God, to have reverence with God, to live a righteous living, to obey God, to live for God, and to go to the end of the world for His kingdom's sake. You know, like in verse 60 said, on hearing this, many of His disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Verse 66, from this time, many of His disciples turned back and no longer follow Jesus. Which category are you? Why are you here today? It is really sad to my heart, bring me to tears, and I pray to God, Lord, let Pantai Baptist Church, let my brother and sister here seek You, not the thing from You, know You, have this life from You, want to be part of You, willing to surrender ourselves to You, not just our comfort when I conveniently have some time, not just do some work, but all for You. I pray for all of you. My prayer for all of us today is not to miss out this important bread of life from God, by holding on the earthly bread. My prayer for you is not to come to Jesus only for the earthly bread. My prayer for us is not to make Jesus your king for the sake of material thing on earth. Because our Lord wants to be the bread of life for you. He dies on the cross for you. so that you can have eternal life with Him. He wants you to take Him all in, so that He can be part of you and you are part of Him. Our God wants to have real relationship with you, brother and sister. He wants to be your God, your King, your Father in heaven, and your friend, so that you will have love relationship with Him. Give Him praise and worship Him and have eternal life with Him and enjoy new heaven and earth with Him. He wants you to surrender all of yourself to Him so that He can transform you to be like Christ's likeness, to be like His Son, so that you can inherit the whole kingdom together with His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants you to submit this very short, earthly life, very short, brother and sister, to exchange for eternal life with Him, so that He can have love relationship, live with you forever. I pray that all of us in Pantai Baptist Church shall be like what Peter say in verse 68 and 69. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. To whom shall we go? There is no way to go. Either you follow Jesus or go to hell. I'm not saying this as a curse word. It is. Hell is real. If you hold on to the earthly material thing, Jesus said, if you want to have life, you will lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you will have it. What is good for a man to gain the whole world but lose his life, lose his soul? Do not worry that can kill the flesh, but worry that can kill the flesh and the soul. And be very fearful of that. As we come to the end of this message, I would like to invite you this morning in your own way. Come. Come to Jesus. Refresh your faith with Him. Confess to Him in repentance. If Jesus has not been the center of your life, confess to Him if you are holding off from Him. Confess to Him the bread that you're holding on, which is not Him, and cannot let go of it. Confess to Him the area in your life you don't want to surrender to Him. Confess to Him if you have not come to Him to have personal relationship with Him, but only one blessing from Him. You know your heart. For you who still not believe in Jesus and still not yet accept Him as your Lord and Savior, come to Him now. His arm is wide open, waiting for you to come to Him and receive Him. Let us come to Jesus and say to Him, O Lord, You are the bread of life. You are the source of life. You are the great I Am. I want to know You and have You alone in my life. Without You, I have nothing. O Lord, give me faith to trust in You completely. You are my only security in life. You are my only hope in life. Help me to surrender myself to obey You. Help me not to fix my eyes on the earthly thing, but on you alone, because only you alone are the bread of life that will truly satisfy me. Pray to Jesus as such. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love to all of us by sending your one and only Son to us, to be the bread of life for us, to die on the cross for our sake. We are so undeserving, yet so privileged, so loved by you. This morning, I want to pray for those who are here who maybe haven't believed, received, accepting your Son as the source of their life. They will believe, receive, accept your Son this morning as Lord and Savior. For those who have come to your Son Jesus yet not surrender themselves to him, I pray today you will do your work in your own way. Draw them to yourself and have your Holy Spirit work in their life powerfully, Father. Father, have your Holy Spirit make all of us in Pantai Baptist Church fully embrace your word and your work, fully embrace your Son as the bread of life. Help us to submit, obey to your teaching, to live every day of our life for you, for your glory. Help us to listen and to obey to you. Live the life that's pleasing to you. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to redeem us and sending your Holy Spirit to continue work in our life. We give you praise, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.